to the Movies to Watch Before You Die podcast. I'm your host, Dylan, along with my cousin and co-host,
Gab.
and today we are talking about a movie that I have nominated as one to watch before you die, one that is also one to make me cry sometimes, but we're going to get into it. We are talking about from 1993, Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey, which I feel like is too long a title, so I'm just going to refer to it as Homeward Bound. Gab, you had never seen this movie before. Do you want to tell me a little bit about what Homeward Bound is about?
What's this all been about? What am I working toward?
You think you know everything about me, don't you?
I die, but you're bottom. I bloody well ought to.
I would love to. Homeward Bound is about two dogs and a cat who are left being pet sat. Because it's not dog sat, because one of them is a cat. So pet sat, can we call it pet sat?
Yeah, I guess so.
Babysat? Watched? Taken
Yeah,
care
you could
of?
have just said watch.
They're being taken
This
care
could have been
of.
an email.
Okay, Homeward Bound is about three pets who are being taken care of by their family friend, but who believe they have been abandoned and venture out to find their way home. God damn it.
You gave far too much importance to the family friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to see how you compare it to the IMDb plot summary?
I guess so.
A fun-loving American bulldog pup, a hilarious Himalayan cat, and a wise old golden retriever embark on a long trek through the rugged wilderness of the Sierra Nevada mountains in a quest to reach home and their beloved owners.
Yep. Okay.
Probably gives a little too much importance to the breeds, which I feel like nobody
Yeah.
was like that upset about, but
But
okay.
what kind of dogs? Yeah.
Neither one of you mentioned like the animals all talk in the movie. I don't
Yeah,
know.
yeah.
Do you want to hear a tagline?
Sure.
It's not very good, but I'm going to tell you anyway.
I'm shocked.
In the classic tradition of Walt Disney Pictures comes a story about courage, adventure, and friendship.
Okay.
Okay. Gab, would you like to say more about the movie?
No.
No? Should we just go straight
No.
into opinions then?
No, I mean, you can.
Go straight into opinions or say more about the movie?
Either one, I don't care.
Okay, so in the movie we have a blended family where you have I guess they are newly married. That's them getting married at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, there's a wedding at the beginning.
Yes, it's a mom and her two kids blending together with a dad and his youngest son. And all three of the kids have their own individual pet. The cat is the daughter's pet, Hope. The dog, Shadow. The cat, Sassy. I should include Sassy as your
The
name.
cat's name is Sassy.
Yes. The dog, Shadow, is Peter's, the oldest boy. And Shadow is the oldest boy. And we'll talk more about Shadow in the opinions because I can't talk about him right now. And the youngest child, Jamie, has Chance, the puppy, who is full of energy and is really the one who has the most arc, I feel like, because Chance at the beginning of the movie is new. It doesn't really feel like this is his home. This is the place he's at right now. He doesn't trust people yet. He doesn't trust the family yet. The dad is taking a temporary job where they have to go to San Francisco, and they are leaving their pets with a family friend. The family friend also has to leave for a couple days and is entrusting the neighbor to take care of the pets while she's doing like they're on a ranch, so she's doing like a cattle run or some shit like that. Doesn't matter.
Ranch hand things, yeah.
I guess, whatever. Not important. The note that she left for the neighbor gets mixed up. So the neighbor, when the animals are all missing because they've escaped, doesn't worry about it. And for after this, the animals are lost. They've been lost for days. Yada yada yada. Dogs and cat have to find their way home, and hijinks ensue. And by the end, spoiler, 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 spoiler. They may or may well, I already said spoiler, spoiler. By the end, they make it back. But you go through some serious shit that will hurt your heart if you're an adult. And I feel like as a kid, you're not like emotionally hurt as much by this as you are as an adult. I don't know. You'll tell me because you're seeing this for the first time now. But I think that's enough what it's about, and we can get into our opinions.
Yeah, please.
In this critic's opinion,
you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Well, I have a right to my opinion, and my opinion is you have no right to your opinion.
As you and I have spoken about, I was in Miami this past weekend. And so, because we record this podcast on Tuesdays, I said I would watch it on my flight home. And so, after the plane took off and I was able to take my laptop out and place it on my tray in the seat in front of me, I turned this movie on. It is important to note that Corey and I were split up on this flight because we did not pay to choose our seats. So I was in the middle seat on the right side of the plane. He was in the middle seat on the left side of the plane. So we could see one another if we turned our heads, but for the most part, we were totally separate. So I had a stranger on the left, I had a stranger on the right, both women. And I started watching this movie, and about 30 minutes in, I had to turn it off because I was sobbing so hard. Both women were concerned for me.
Wait, 30 minutes in. What are you sobbing at 30 minutes in? Oh, wait.
Because,
I think I might know, but you tell me.
go ahead. No, you tell me.
Is it Shadow? Was it Shadow? Because Shadow at one point has been Shadow gets told by Peter to stay. And it hurts your heart.
Yeah, Dylan.
But Shadow stays and Shadow chants and says here on the ranch, and Shadow says something like, it's been too long. And like, oh, he thinks they've been abandoned, and he says something like, who's gonna wait for you? Oh God, I can't talk about this to somebody else's dog. Who's gonna wait for you when you get home from school? Who's gonna
Yeah.
snuggle up in
Yep.
bed with you?
Yep.
Was that it?
Yep. Yeah,
Okay.
you fuck.
Sorry.
But they were sincerely like, "Are you okay?" I had to be like, "I'm sorry. I started watching a movie. It's fine." And then I had to turn it off and turn on YouTube and watch CrossFit highlights to soothe myself.
That would have made me cry.
I specifically told you I didn't want to watch a movie with any kind of animal,
You told me you
any
didn't
kind
want to
of.
watch a movie where a dog dies.
Yeah, I didn't. And you
And
know
no
what?
dog dies.
It was very close.
Oh, isn't it? Isn't it? Oh, poor Shadow.
I hated it.
Wait, I have quote. I don't know why. I have. Me and Zach and me and Giselle have quoted for years. Peter. So at the very end, the family has come back because the veterinarian pound slash place, whatever, says they found the animals. And they're like, oh my God, this is incredible.
Well, because the animals helped to rescue a little girl who was lost in the woods. So the rescue team, which also made me emotional because now I'm like, this little girl is lost and these dogs are taking care of her and we don't fucking deserve them. And that they're like, oh my God, thank you so much. You saved my little girl's life. And then they take them and they're like, we're gonna call the family and reunite them. Like,
Although that's the
anyway.
one ridiculous part of the movie. Shadow is barking to get the attention of the search party so they can find the little girl. And the dad turns towards Shadow and goes, what is it, boy? Like, he just says it in such like a classic cliche. What is it, Lassie? Is somebody trapped in the well type thing?
Yeah.
But they take the animals to the pound because Chance by this point has porcupine spears in his face. And they've been found so that their owners can come get them.
Yeah, because there were flyer, they were like lost animal flyers all over
Yes.
the place, so they recognized them.
But Chance is convinced, because he had previously been in a pound, that he is being taken back there. Sassy's being taken back there. Shadow's being taken back there, and they will never get out. And they have to escape. This is not the way back to their owners. They have to get out. So they escape like just like an hour before their family gets there to find them. Where did I start this? Yes. So they are on their way back. Shadow is leading the way. He's telling them, we just got to get through this area and we'll be there. And they're crossing over these train tracks and they find an area where he falls through these like wooden boards. It's the saddest part of any fucking movie in the world. It's like I may as well have stuck a knife in Gab's heart and twisted it.
Yeah, you really may have.
Shadow falls, and obviously it was very safely done and very fakely done. It's a all very fake. Like if you look in the IMDb trivia section for this movie, all it is them telling you how they safely did this because no animals were harmed in the making of this movie.
They better not have been fucking harmed.
Like, I can tell you, Shadow falls into like this muddy pit and he can't get out. His leg is hurt. Oh, his leg is hurt. And every time he tries to crawl up, he slinks back down in the mud and he gives up and he's saying it's too hard for him, which they did that by there was a trainer on the top of the mud pile and a trainer at the bottom. The trainer at the top would call the dog to come to him. The train at the bottom would then tell him to stay, and once he stayed, he would just slide back down. So it was very safe. That dog was not hurt at all. But Shadow's doing all this, and then we sort of cut to the family back at home, and they're like happy to be back at their actual home when all of a sudden they hear a barking. And Jamie, the youngest boy, goes, "Is that, is that Chance?" And Chance runs towards him and is barking and is so happy to be back with him. And he's like, "You smell like a million bones. You're the greatest boy in the world. It's the sweetest fucking thing." And then all of a sudden, Sassy comes back and Hope is picking up Sassy and everyone's happy. And then there's a beat. And it is the saddest fucking beat where Peter looks at the direction where all the other pets were coming from. And Shadow's not coming. Oh my God, I'm getting myself emotional. And we laugh at it, but in the movie, it's so
You
fucking
did
sad.
this.
Peter going, I'm trying to think of the exact phraseology that he says, and he goes, he couldn't do it. It was too far. He was just too old. And you're like, oh no. And then all of a sudden, like the fucking hero he is, we see in the distance Shadow coming because that dog ain't got no quit in him. And Shadow runs up to Peter, and it is the sweetest thing you've ever seen.
Okay, it
Shadow's voiced
shut
by
up
an
for a
old
second.
no, I gotta say the one thing that Shadow says. Shadow's an old man, is running up to Peter and goes, "Oh, Peter, I worried about you so," and you're like, "Oh."
I just like, as somebody who has had four dogs die, Dylan, four
Me?
in your life? Yeah.
Yeah.
How could the fuck would you, why would you put yourself through this? Are you kidding me?
Well, first of all, I watched this as a child and I loved it then. Second of all, th this movie is what pets are about. You know what I mean? Like, this movie is everything that pets are about, and it shows just how much that they just have nothing but love in their hearts, and they are just the most wonderful perfect creatures. Dogs specifically, I love a good cat too, but I love dogs. Sorry, Sally. Cover
I me
Sally's
too.
ears.
Sally, listen, Sally knows the deal. All right. I love dogs. Corey says dogs are my Roman Empire because anytime a dog walks down the street, it's like no more gab. I'm like, hey baby.
I
And
do
I
the
just
same
like,
thing.
I'm like, oh, I'm pumpkin.
I do this. I go, dog, dog, it's a dog. Like nobody else can see it, and I have to tell them.
I go, oh, hello, look at this boy. Like, I just, and I tell Corey what breed it is or what breed it could be or what mix I think it might be and whether or not they're a good boy. They're always a good boy. But
Are you
like,
gonna say?
Dylan, I just, I don't even want to talk about this movie anymore.
What do you mean? Isn't it so sweet?
It hurt. It hurt. It hurt more than the Timothée Chalamet fucking vampires eating each other movie. I'd rather watch that again.
No, don't say that. This is so good. It's so
It
good.
hurt. I just like, it hurt.
Okay, wait. Because we're making it sound like the entire movie is just sad from start to finish, and it's not. Because there are parts of it that are like fun, and there are parts of it that are pretty funny. And
Okay,
there's
go
two.
ahead.
There are two parts of this movie that are unintentionally hilarious, Gab, and I want to know if you spotted them when you were watching it.
Okay.
First, I want to say it's like 30 minutes in. They are running, and Chance, and clearly what was not supposed to happen, runs into a tree so fucking hard.
Yeah.
And like they made a joke about it in the movie, but like that dog, clearly they just kept that take, but that dog ran right into a fucking tree. And I
Yeah.
saw in behind the scenes stuff that apparently that dog, like Chance, the dog who played him, was actually like a 6 to 7 month old puppy. So he was growing up right as they were filming the movie.
Oh,
And
wow.
apparently, as he got older, he got a little bit cross-eyed. And they're like, so he did run straight into that fucking tree. The other is another moment with Chance. I've got the exact time code, 10 minutes and 50 seconds in. They are getting out of the car at the place they're dropping the pets off. And Jamie gets out of the car, this little boy, who's gotta be what, 6, 7 years old?
Not even.
Maybe younger. And Chance, the dog, was clearly excited, and this is a puppy, jumps and knocks that kid so hard into the fucking car door, and they immediately get away from him, but that kid slams. Like, it looks like a Ray Lewis fucking tackles him into that car door, and you see the kid's face, like, I'm hurt.
Oh
It's fucking great.
my God.
They have obviously other intentionally funny moments, but those are two of my favorite moments in that movie.
Yeah.
Wait, what about Chance doing Bat Dog in the car?
Oh, yeah, that was very cute.
It's all very cute. It's so cute. Chance going up to the porcupine because he's like, whoa, what's this spiky thing? Look at the guy's hair. And then he gets little spears in his face.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
It's so sweet. It's so sweet. If you've ever had a pet, like, this movie will infect you incredibly. And
Yeah, in a bad way.
no. By the end, you didn't feel good seeing them reunite.
Well, here's the thing, Dylan. I felt like if I don't go to the shelter and adopt a golden retriever right now, I'm gonna kill myself.
This movie is straight up propaganda for golden retrievers because Shadow is so perfect and like what every dog should be.
But Dylan, who else was perfect in what every dog should be?
Who?
Ranger.
Ranger was my golden retriever from like the age of 0 until like 6 or 7 years old. Yeah.
He was the best boy.
I remember there used to be an intelligence test for dogs where it was like, put a towel over your dog's head. And however fast the dog can get it off, it shows how smart they are. And they threw the towel over Ranger's head and he just didn't move.
He
He
just
just
said he
left
was
it.
like, okay. He was the best boy.
The only other Ranger story I feel like I remember is apparently I've been told before about I went outside in the snow and I was very young and very small and I fell in the snow and like disappeared and Ranger went out and grabbed me and dragged me back in. Ranger was like, come here, idiot.
Ranger. My mom always talks about how Ranger was the best dog ever,
Aww.
ever of all time.
And before that, I know my mom also had another golden before that, Champ.
Champ was dead long before we were born, yeah.
Don't think that long before we were born, but it's got to be long before we were born. Yeah.
I mean, Ranger was like an adult dog.
I'm like, that dog lived with Grandpa Hesh and Grandma Doris, who
Yeah.
divorced like 40 years ago.
Yeah,
So
exactly.
that's got to be a while ago. He was 37. You ever watch King of Queens?
Yeah, of course.
I'm not like a huge fan of that show, but one of my favorite jokes of all time is Doug finding out that his parents have been lying to him about the dog. He has this dog, Rocky, and he thinks Rocky's like 30. And they're like, this is actually Rocky Five. Like, it's just the combination of the name with the sequels and fucking
Yeah.
this dog. It's hysterical.
Oh, that's funny.
I don't know. Like, I'm not sure if you're only going to have negative opinions about this movie, but I can't think of anything bad to say about this movie.
Here's what I'll say. It pulled on my heartstrings in a way that I didn't want my heartstrings pulled on. And I think because I knew what was coming and like the agony of anticipation of my heartstrings being pulled again, like it was just too much for me to bear. It was too much.
It's
And
not the movie's fault. It's my fault.
it's
I
not.
tugged your heartstrings.
No, it's my fault. Like that's just my life experience. Like I am not in a place where I can watch that movie, and I may never be.
Oh, now I feel terrible. I'm so
Like it
sorry.
really, it's okay. I just feel like I wish that maybe I had been a little more firm about like this can't be what I think it's gonna be. And it was
Oh.
exactly what I thought it was gonna be. I lost two dogs in my breakup. And yeah, it was very hard to watch.
I now feel like a real schmuck.
Yeah, it's okay. It really, it's one of those things where like outside the context of the movie, it's fine. But in the context of the movie, it was not fine.
Because the movie's tugging real hard on the emotions, like you said. Yeah.
Yeah. And the
Yeah.
movie, like the literally the point of the movie is that they feel like they've been abandoned. And I'm like, oh.
But it's also just that they don't understand. Like when Peter's talking to him on the phone and he's like, I never know what he's saying through this thing. And the cat's like, just placate him so he barks. It's so cute. It's so fucking cute.
Yeah.
We gotta talk about the cast. The cast is fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, so I'll say this, not a single human did a good job in this movie.
What do you mean?
I mean, they were all bad. The actors were all very campy and over the top, but the animals were so good.
I think the humans are doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing for what is like a children's film. You know what I mean? I thought it was they did exactly as the assignment required. You don't feel that way?
Okay. I guess so. I just maybe didn't like the assignment.
That's fair. But the animal voice actors and the animal actors are fucking perfection.
Yeah.
One last thing before I get to I feel like we should just go straight to facts. I feel like our opinions are all animals sad, animals cute. We love animals.
I do love animals, and honestly, like, you know, it's this is the last thing I'm going to say that has nothing to do with the movie, but it's, and I'm sure you and Giselle talk about this all the time, like, Corey and I talk about how nice it is that, like, we went away for 5 days and we left Sally and we came home and Sally was still alive. And it's like, oh my God, this is great. And not having to be home every X amount of hours to let the dog out and whatever, blah, blah. Like, it is nice and it is convenient to have a life where you don't have an animal relying on you. But God damn it, I want a dog. I want a golden retriever.
Well, I think of, there's a quote from Michael Scott in The Office, you know, I am ready to get hurt again. Every time you go through the agony of losing a dog, you have some time where you're like, I can't ever do this again. I can't. Yep. And then a few months later or a year later or however long it takes, you're like, you know what? I'm ready to get hurt again because they're just so wonderful and so pure.
That's how it feels.
Yeah. There's one other thing I thought of, because the kids towards the very end before the pets return, they have this moment where it's like, a small and really inconsequential in terms of the movie thing, where instead of calling him Bob, which is what they've been calling the dad the whole time, they finally call him dad. The daughter calls him daddy. The son calls him, yeah, dad. You know what I mean? And it's this nice moment where they had like this reaction towards each other. But it made me think of, this has got to be 15 years ago on Facebook. Somebody I know, I'll leave the names out, posted about their stepdad. They went, if the house was on fire, I still wouldn't call you dad.
What?
That was like a Facebook post. It was like, if the house was on fire, I still wouldn't call you dad.
What the fuck?
Like, it was like, damn. It was like,
but
why?
Also, like, if the house were on fire, what does anybody's name have to do with anything?
I think she just meant, in the urgency of the situation, I still would not refer to you with that title.
Okay, that's crazy. That's out of control.
Even it stuck with me long enough that I still thought of it now. But Gab, I do hope at some point you get to use, like, if God forbid, I'm trying to think, if Brent Fikowski loses next year in the CrossFit Championship, you can go, he was just too old.
Yeah, that's fair.
He's not even old, but I just love doing it with, like, anything. You can just hit them with that.
That's great. That's really great. That's awesome. By the way, Brent Fikowski. So my friend Haley is madly in love with him, like madly in love with him. It like makes us a little uncomfortable. And so when we had an opportunity to meet him, I said, Haley, you have to tell him. And she was like, I can't. So I said, okay, fine, I'll tell him. And she was like, no, please don't. So I said, okay, fine. So we took a picture with him, which I sent to you. And I said, you're our favorite. And he said, you say that to all the boys. And I thought that was hilarious.
It would have, the only way it would have been better is if he went, no, Gab, I know Patrick Velner is your favorite.
I know. I wanted to be like, you're her favorite. I don't really care about you all that much. No, he's very funny and he's very nice. Patrick Velner, balding very badly.
Well, still a chiropractor, right?
Yeah.
So he's got that to fall back on.
He does. Yeah. Still balding, though.
Hey, you know what? As a man who will definitely be bald at some point, take it easy on the balding. They know.
Yeah, but you're not balding in the back.
No. No, that's hard.
He's got, like, and his hair is so, like, strawberry blonde and very fine. So sometimes you're like, is that a reflection of the sun off his hair or is it a bald spot? But let me tell you, they had to swim. And when he got out of the water, it was like a big, shiny, it was like a bullseye on the back of his head.
The saddest part is everyone can see it but you.
Yeah. It was not good. Love him to death. It was not
very
good.
Tragic.
Yeah.
Speaking of very tragic, Homeward Bound. should we get to facts?
Yeah, let's get to the facts.
I want the truth!
Face the facts, dokes.
Facts have no place with an organized religion.
I feel like this is a short episode just because it's like, content warning. This is hard shit to talk about on your heart.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Let's start with our ratings. Rotten Tomatoes gives this an 87% on the tomato meter with an average rating of 7 out of 10, 27 fresh reviews and 4 rotten. The audience score is a 71% with an average score of 3.8 out of 5. IMDb gives this a 6.9 out of 10. I could not find the budget for this movie, but it grossed $42 million. The critics' consensus? Disney's remake of The Incredible Journey successfully replicates and in some ways improves upon the simple charms of the original, with its cross-country animal odyssey sure to delight kids.
Mm.
Roger Ebert gave the movie 3 stars. It has a certain craftsmanship and an undeniable charm, and if you find yourself watching it with a child, you may end up liking it almost as much. James Berardinelli from Real Views, as an episode of The Wonderful World of Disney, it would be fine, but as a major motion picture, it's disappointing. To which I say, go fuck yourself, James. Peter Stack from the San Francisco Chronicle, another Disney delight based on the humane and comical children's novel by Sheila Burnford, who the family in the remake is named after the author of the original book. There isn't a jaded, cynical moment in the film. And finally, I had to bring back somebody who you found interesting previously, Alex Sandell from Juicy Cerebellum.
Oh, yes.
So damn incredible, it put me to sleep. To which I also say, fuck you and your cerebellum, Alex.
Okay.
And I'm bringing it back. I just have a couple of Letterboxd reviews. Yaz said, 7-year-old me, wow, what a fun adventure. 26-year-old me, heavy sobbing the entire last scene.
Yep.
Katrina B, the emotional masochism it takes to watch this movie as a 32-year-old.
Yes, Dylan.
Like, I realized as I was researching this, I was like, perhaps this wasn't a good idea.
It was not a good idea.
Quentin, my wife, put your phone away. Me, I'm ordering sushi. My wife, put it away for 5 minutes. It's the good part. Cat falls in the water. My wife gasps. Me, you knew it was coming. You weren't surprised. Cat can't get out of the river. My wife starts crying. Me, what's happening? My wife, I can't believe Sassy's about to die. Me, yes, you can. You told me it was about to happen.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Jesse, really would have loved this line from Chance. Shadow, I have to tell you about the future. Chance is voiced by Michael J. Fox. Then he also said, Shadow in the mud hole still gets me in the feels. Who's cutting onions over there? Let's see. You want the fun facts or you want the cast information first?
I mean, what does it really matter?
Wow. Okay. Is that depression from the movie or from the podcast?
Depression from the movie.
Okay. I'll do the cast first. The movie was directed by Dwayne Dunham, who also directed Little Giants and Halloween Town. This was the first movie he directed, and he also was an editor. He edited Star Wars Return of the Jedi.
Wow.
I thought that was cool.
That is cool.
The screenplay is by Caroline Thompson and Linda Wolverton, who also wrote Edward Scissorhands, The Nightmare Before Christmas, and the original Lion King. It's based on the novel by Sheila Burnford. It stars Michael J. Fox as the voice of Chance, who you know from Back to the Future. That's what you know him from. Come on. That's what we all know him from. Sally Field as the voice of Sassy, who you may know as Mama Gump, or from 80 for Brady.
Sure. And yeah. A million other things.
Yeah. She's also in this movie, Little Evil, which is on Netflix that you should totally watch. It's The Omen, but from the point of view of the Antichrist stepdad.
Okay, I've seen Little Nicky. I don't need any more.
No, it's much better than Little Nicky, but...
Okay, good, because that movie sucks.
Popeye's chicken is the shit.
Oh, God, he talks like that the whole fucking movie.
The product placement worked, because I still remember that. Don Ameche as the voice of Shadow, who you may know from Trading Places, or he won an Academy Award for the movie Cocoon.
Okay.
Benj Tall, Veronica Lauren, and Kevin Chevalier as the kids Peter, Hope, and Jamie. Robert Hayes as the dad Bob, who you probably know from Airplane as Ted.
Yes. Or
as Tony Stark from the 90s Iron Man cartoon. Kim Grease as the mom, who you may not know from the movie Chud, which Chud stands for Cannibalistic Humanoid Underground Dwellers.
Which I would have much rather watched than this movie.
Maybe. Maybe next time.
Okay.
Also, lest we forget, the bear, played by Bart the Bear, who you may know from The Great Outdoors, On Deadly Ground, 12 Monkeys, and The Giant of Thunder Mountain. Bart the Bear sadly passed away in 2000. We miss you daily, Bart the Bear. He acted from 1980 to 1998. He was 9 feet tall and over 1,700 pounds. He is survived by his children, Little Bart and Honey Bump. Bart also was a presenter at the 70th Academy Awards.
No.
R.I.P. Bart the Bear.
Wow. Okay.
He lived an unbearable life.
He was a good boy, I guess.
But the bear worked his ass off every day. The jobs were grisly, but he got it done.
Oh, my God.
And 1994, the Movie Guide Awards, it won for the best movie for families.
Okay.
Now we can do some fun facts.
Okay.
Each of the animals portraying the three four-footed leads worked for up to 7 weeks before shooting even began. Each responded to voice and sound commands, and each was rewarded for its performance not with movie star perks, but with liver treats.
Even the cat was obedient?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Sally, how come you can't go get a job? That cat had a job. You don't contribute nothing.
The main animals portraying Shadow, Chance, and Sassy were named Ben, Rattler, and Tiki.
Who's who?
Ben was Shadow, Rattler was Chance, and Tiki was Sassy.
Tiki.
Chance and Shadow were each played by four dogs in addition, who would be there for stunts, and Sassy was played by 10 cats.
Holy shit.
But those were the main three were Ben, Rattler, and Tiki. The additional animals were brought in to perform specialty actions or simply to give the lead animal performers a break. Other Holy animals shit. In the Homeward Bound cast include a mountain lion, an owl, a porcupine, a skunk, and who could forget Bart the Bear.
Bart the Bear, who's more famous than any of us could ever dream of being.
Bart the Bear, I saw on IMDb, got paid $1 million for one movie, and I was like, fuck you, Bart.
$1 million? Who gets that money?
Bart the Bear. That's what little Bart and Honeybump are living on now, guys.
who was the bear in The Revenant?
I wonder if it was little Bart.
I hope
not
so.
So little now.
Yeah.
I can hear cats
really
in the cradle.
Following in his father's footsteps. Okay, what else? Hit me with more fun.
Because
you haven't in a while.
Two of these are the facts I gave already. When Chance jumps out of the car, he bangs the youngest child's head onto the door hard enough to make the camera pan off quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, Gab, if you rewatch this movie, just rewatch that portion. Just go to 10 minutes in and just watch that kid get slammed into the fucking door.
I'll never.
Okay. The widescreen version of this film is not available on DVD. It can only be found on iTunes or rare Laserdiscs, Hulu, Netflix, and Disney Plus. Which is crazy because I had the DVD and I was like, that can't be true. My DVD is in full screen. You can only get widescreen online.
Oh, okay.
Do you even know what the difference is, Gab? You're looking at me like I got three heads.
No, I do. I'm just like, oh, okay.
Preserve physical media, Gab. The original The Incredible Journey, which is from 1963, did not feature the animals having voices, but instead relied on narration. And that seems so much worse.
Yes, very.
Gab, it sounds like you're over the facts and over the sadness of the dog movie. Would you like to get to some mail?
I need a little bit of joy in my life, Dill. Give it to me now.
Mail time!
When you control the mail, you control information.
Mom asked me to ask you if there's any mail for us here by mistake.
What?
Well, it's going to be very little joy because there's only one comment on our podcast from last week, Jumpin' Jack Flash.
Oh, the suffering continues.
So we'll get back to the dog stuff soon, but let's take a break for a comment from Lenola Cola, who said, Whoopi has had quite the career. Star Trek The Next Generation, The Color Purple, Sister Act, and the most beloved movie in her filmography, Theodore Rex, co-starring DCAU cast members George Newbern and Bud Cort. I think I mentioned Theodore Rex. Do you know what Theodore Rex is?
No.
I want to read you like the brief IMDb plot of that, just super fast. Okay, Theodore Rex from 1995. In an alternate futuristic society, a tough female police detective is paired with a talking dinosaur to find the killer of dinosaurs and other prehistoric animals, leading them to a mad scientist.
Is that a kid's movie?
I don't know what the fuck it is, but it's got a 2.4 on IMDb.
Do you think it's better or worse than Jumpin' Jack Flash?
Jumpin' Jack Flash is at a minimum competent. I missed the layup.
Come on, Dylan.
Fumble touchdown for a gap.
Okay, yeah, I suppose that's true. Wow, crazy. Well, thanks, Lenola Cola. Thanks, Whoopi Goldberg. Thanks, T-Rex. Thanks, global warming. Thanks, asteroids.
Don't thank global warming.
Thanks, universe. Thanks be to Allah. Who said it, Dill? Who said it?
Are you talking
praise
about
be to Allah?
First of all, I'm pretty sure most people who practice the Muslim faith do, but are you quoting Kanye West?
No, Dylan. Okay.
No, it's not Kanye West. It's Swiss Beats. There's a song with Kanye West where it goes, praise to the most high, Allah, baby, I'm magic, Tada.
Okay, that's not what I was quoting.
What were you quoting?
It's that crazy rant from Mike Tyson. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and the most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lennox is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from their cloth. There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
I was going to say that I want to eat his children if you didn't know it. The other thing he clearly means to say, like, he's going to fade into oblivion. And instead he goes, he's going to fade into Bolivia. Like, I'm going to eat the children and then he will fade into Bolivia.
The speech impediment. If you saw Mike Tyson and could read some of the quotes, like if it were in a textbook, you'd be like, damn, that motherfucker was tough. Like he was. And then you hear him talk and you're like, something about this is not right.
I wonder, like, I feel like growing up, he probably took some shit and then he was like, and now I'm going to become so tough that you will hear me talk this way and you will never have the guts to, like, everybody does like a Mike Tyson impression, I feel like, but nobody would do a Mike Tyson impression in front of Mike Tyson.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, that's a scary man. He's like in his 50s now and he still looks like he could, like, 50s? Destroy a person with one punch.
No, Dylan.
Why? Do you think he's older or younger?
Yes, older.
No.
Yes.
He's 57.
Okay, that's almost 60.
Really? Would you say he's in his 50s or in his 60s?
I would say he is almost 60.
Get the fuck out of here. Like, sure, you're technically right, but so was I.
Yeah.
To quote what the Domino's man said to me one day when I complained to him, I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm right.
He went by what argument?
Oh, we were just mad that we hadn't gotten the pizza yet, and he kept saying it's coming, and it had been like 2 hours later, and he was like, I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm right. And like, that was the end of the conversation. Like, he just ended it with us, and I don't think we ever got our food.
Interesting. I'm so sorry about that. You know, I wasn't allowed to eat Domino's growing up.
They probably worked out for the best.
Yeah, it did.
I was allowed to eat far too much Domino's growing up.
That's true. Look at us now, Dill. Look at us now.
Oh, God. Okay. God damn, Gab. That was a very not so subtle roast, but okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I've had enough of this.
Good. So now I can get back to making you sad with dogs.
Yep. Here we go.
Do or do not. There is no try.
The guilty will be punished.
Sentence death.
These are abrupt verdicts. I feel like the tugging of the heartstrings is going to make you say no, but I will say, if you are a pet lover, hopefully if you currently have a pet, because as somebody who does not have a dog now, it did make me cry, and this is one of the few movies that I'm like, oh fuck, this is gonna hurt like a son of a bitch every time I watch it. But it is definitely a movie to watch before you die for me. It is so sweet, so wonderful, and it is the epitome of what pets are. It's perfect. And also, I just think they did an incredible job filming around animals, because animals are notoriously, like, one of the most difficult things you can work with are animals and children, they say in the movies. And it does a great job finding ways to quickly cut around things, and it never challenges your suspension of disbelief. You are in. Gab?
Okay. Well, Dylan, I did not think the movie was bad at all. I thought it was good. However, I cannot in good conscience put this on a list of movies that I would encourage anybody to watch. It's like, it just is. It's a mean, evil, bad thing to do.
Think about this, Gab. Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
No, I cannot. Great. No, it's not that great. It's great. But it is not worth the emotional agony that you put me through. If you have pets and you've never had a pet die or lost a pet or had any kind of like pet related tragedy in your life, sure, watch it. But if you have ever lost a beloved pet, do stay far, far away because time does not heal all wounds, and it's not worth it.
Not that it's a competition. As someone who's had four dogs and four cats die in his life, I still highly recommend this adorable, heartfelt movie, which, yes, will hurt you like a son of a bitch, but it is enjoyable the whole time. Michael J. Fox, Sally Fields, and Don Ameche are so fucking perfect as these animals. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's on Disney Plus. Go watch it. Scotty, Trevor,
do whatever you want. Go ahead. Do whatever you want. But honestly, I'd rather get a fucking bullet in the head.
Okay, then.
So anyway.
But it was good.
Yeah, I mean, it was fine. I don't know. It was good. I watched it. I gasped. I cried. I disturbed other people on an airplane.
Did you cry again when you were finishing it?
Of course I did. Do you think I am made of stone?
Peter, how I missed you so.
Oh, God. And then I started thinking, this dog is so fucking old, buddy. Like, you better. I know you're glad you got a second chance, but don't get too fucking attached. Because Homeward Bound 2, we're going to get euthanized.
No, there is a Homeward Bound 2, actually, Gab.
And what happens?
They get lost in San Francisco, and Chance gets a city girlfriend. And they adopt Chance's girlfriend at the end. It's very cute.
What happens to Shadow? He dies?
Shadow? No, nobody dies. Stop that. These are wonderful films.
Do you remember when Gog and Pop took us to see My Dog Skip in the movie theater?
I remember seeing My Dog Skip. I didn't remember that they took us, but I remember we must have been so young. We must have been like 8 or 9 years old, and I was like, fuck this movie. Fuck this movie with alcoholic Luke Wilson and dogs being abused. I don't need this. Yep.
We were so young. And as soon as we left, they were like, that was such a mistake. Oh my God. And we were scarred. I'm still scarred.
I remember the trailer for Marley and Me, and I was like, nope.
Nope. Absolutely not. Won't do it. How about what was the other one with all the dogs that ended up having all those issues where they were not following the.
It was like a dog's journey or something like that.
Yeah. And there were a bunch of dogs and they weren't.
Yeah. We're putting dogs in rapids just for fun in this movie. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Made it look like Sassy went into the water, but apparently it was just a cat that had been trained to be in the water that they gently placed her in water. And then they had fake cats and they had a fake electronic cat. And they had it all set up so that they didn't need to actually torture an animal, which is what some of these movies apparently are like, why don't we just torture the animal? And I'm like, okay.
Method acting.
Apparently in the original 1963 Incredible Journey, there are scenes where it's just like, oh yeah, we just put a bear in front of those dogs. And it's like, why would you do that? Why would you do it? Bart the Bear was never on set with Ben Rattler or Tiki. Bart the Bear is too much of a diva for that. And he said, I'll kill them. You can't do this.
Yeah, he was alone.
I was very into. I was like, now that I know this bear's name, I have to know more.
Yeah, that was so great. Bart the Bear. Listen, I hope to never see that again. And I would never ask somebody else to watch that. I would never put someone through that. It is the equivalent of Marley and Me. It's My Dog Skip.
No.
It's all.
No,
yes. Yes.
No, no
yes,
dogs. No
Dylan,
dogs.
Yes.
No dogs die.
Yeah, right now. But guess what, Dylan? All dogs die.
All people die.
Okay, but fuck people.
We are all stardust and die.
God, I just hate it. You know, Sally's 15 years old. Look at this old bitch. You see her? Sally. Sally,
can
you
hear
me?
You.
She's so old.
I feel like she just looked up at you like, bitch.
You are ancient. I just Dylan, I don't have it in me. I'm sorry. And you know, this is one of those movies that makes me think I'd really like to get another dog. And then I think, why?
Because they're worth it. They're worth it. They're so perfect. They're perfect creatures. Shadow describes why they're man's best friend at some point, and you're like, fuck, Shadow, you're so pure and perfect. Oh, you wonderful, wonderful dog, you.
Oh, God, it hurt.
Also, the music's really good. That do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. No? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, Dylan. I'm in pain. I need to talk to my therapist.
And on that note, if you want to contact us or Gab's therapist, you can send an email to moviestowatchbeforeyoudie@gmail.com, or you can send us a voice message at
anchor.fm/movies to watch.
You can find our information in the link tree in the description below. You can find our good friends in the Hall of Friends podcasting network, their link tree below
Hall,
as well.
Hall of Friends?
Hall of Pods podcasting network in the link tree below. They're also our friends. How about that?
Yeah. You can Venmo me for the emotional damage caused by this film.
But
therapy ain't cheap.
It's priceless. Until next time, keep it movies to watch before you die.
That joke is not going to land because it's from a different episode.
It's from the fifth segment. Oh, no.
Keep it.
Shadow, is that people?
Yes, I'm going to find them.
No strangers, Shadow. They'll take us to the pound and lock us up. We'll never come out again.
They're just looking for the little girl, Chance. She needs us. We have to help.
What is it, old fella?